the covenant is still alive. Because in the conditional covenant that God made before with man, you know, the foundation, the very foundation of the covenant was the if. If you do this, I will do this. If you eat, you will die. So since the basis of the covenant was that if, the day you don't keep the if, it kills the covenant. But this one, from the beginning, there was no ifs. There was only, I will do. I will do. God didn't expect Abraham to keep anything, to keep the alliance, to keep the covenant alive. That's why we say it is unconditional, because breaking anything, even not meeting expectation, was not breaking the covenant. But not meeting the expectation was making Abraham not to access the blessing of the covenant. That's the difference. There are resources, there are blessings in the covenant, but if Abraham, if a child of God doesn't meet the requirement, what God is expecting from him, he won't access the blessing of the covenant. We saw that God told Abraham, you need to separate. Abraham took, instead of doing what God told him to do, he got separated with some of the things, but he still took his father, he took Lot, and went into Egypt, and they did so many bad things. We saw that though God promised to give him everything, but God withheld all the blessing until Abraham met the conditions. God separated with his father, get separated with Lot, and only then God came and spoke to Abraham again and told him, Abraham, I will bless you more. He gave him even more promises than what he told him before. Why? Because he was meeting God's expectations. That's what we saw last time. Now we are going to go a little bit further. God was still expecting some more inputs from Abraham. Because the promise, there are so many things that God promised Abraham, but God at each step, at every step, he was watching Abraham's attitude. His attitude, his obedience was key to release more of the blessings of the covenant. The more Abraham got, you know, was obedient, the more he got access to the blessing of the covenant. And the process of separation, it was a staged separation. Amen. It was a staged separation. And that's with every believer's experience. It's God is calling for a separation, but we see, as we'll see with the life of Abraham, it's a staged separation. First, with Abraham, it was a physical separation. Leaving country, leaving his environment where he was familiar, leaving his friends, maybe he had ambitions, because the Bible says he had cows, he had oxen. Do you think camels, though, they were there just as a decoration? He was a businessman. Maybe he was a car hiring company, like today's term. Yeah, man. Because the camels were the Teslas of those days. Isn't it? Yeah. So having camels, it means if someone has 3,000 camels, they are not sitting there for people to be looking at them. It was maybe a car hiring company. He had so many contracts with the government and with so many businesses. So he had to leave all that behind. The first stage of his separation, leaving his engagement, leaving the people he was associated with, leaving his project, leaving his ambition. And usually, it's not very difficult for a believer's experience. When they hear the word of God, when they decide to give their life to God, getting separated with, it's hard. I don't say it's easy. But it's much easier to leave. So, no, they don't go to the pubs anymore. They don't visit the friends they used to visit. That is just the first stage of a separation. But remember, the children of Israel, they went through that stage when they left Egypt. They got separated with their neighbors. They got separated with the countermasters, with all the. But there was a second stage that was required of them. It was to get Egypt out of them. Yeah? Though physically they went out of Egypt, there was a second stage that was expected of them. It was now to get Egypt out of them. Though they went out of Egypt, but they took Egypt with them. That's why all along the way, they were not physically in Egypt, but Egypt was in them. Always remembering, in Egypt, we were doing this. In Egypt, we were eating cucumber. In Egypt, garlic. Because this is one of the most difficult stage in the process of separation. Physically, people don't see you going to pubs anymore. But you have those emotional ties with. If I say it, some people may think I was born an angel, I've never been in those funny stuffs or whatever. No, I've been a young man like every young man. I remember when I decided to give my life to Christ as a teenager. Before I became serious with God, there was a girl I was after. And I was really trying to get her to become my girlfriend. And she didn't want. I did all that I could. And she wouldn't, she would just drop me down all the time. And it was it was my dream girl, And she didn't, she never accepted. It's okay. But when I decided to give my life to Christ, exactly when she decided to accept. And she was serious. Because it was in those Pentecostal churches where we'll go into retreats and we'll spend a week or two, in those camps and so forth. She would send men to come and look for me. She'll even come, in person to look for me. He said, I'm ready now. I'm ready now. I want you. You were looking for me. Now I'm here. It was a very, very big challenge. It was because my heart was there. She was in my heart. But I had to follow Jesus. But now, and she tempted me. At some stage, I was saying, okay, let me just go and stay with her a little while, and I'll come back to Jesus. It was not easy at all. It took a while, a long while, and she was consistent. She wanted, you know, that business to begin. Praise God, I'm in a company of very good, strong people. I didn't hide it to them. I told them, listen, what is happening, and through this, and that. They helped me a lot to an extent that I was able to overcome, you know. So it just shows that emotional tie, it's very, very hard. It becomes a big stumbling block on your way as a believer. These are the one of the things that may become a hindrance on your Christian experience into attaining into fullness of God prepared for you. Amen. So the first stage in the process is physical. The second stage is emotional, sentimental. Get for many believers. But God with Abraham, there was a third stage of separation that God wanted to see Abraham. And this was the most difficult. Abraham had to cut a portion of his flesh. He had to go to separate from a portion of himself. He had to cut off some of body, because that's the extent to which God wanted separation. You're connected with the world, that's good. You got delivered emotionally, sensitively, that's good. But God wanted no feeling, some bad feeling in his body. Something that will involve some deep crying, deep suffering to show that he has, you know, is with the covenant. Amen. This fact, it's painful. It's something very, very hard to bear. And Abraham was not a little boy. Abraham was a man over 75. Amen. He had to go and accept that separation. Amen. As a believer, God is expecting you to go that far in your process of separation. I'm not talking about the physical, but it's not less painful than the physical, because it's strong and difficult, extreme decisions that you have to make. Amen. Suggest to Abraham that Abraham, if you like, can be circumcised. Genesis 7:10. Genesis 17, verse 10, it says, this is my covenant. 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Amen. God didn't say it's optional. He didn't say you can choose to do or not to do. It is a requirement that you have to be circumcised. Amen. But God didn't do that. God negotiated with Abraham. He said, Abraham, you have to do it. But remember, it was a conditional covenant. It was a covenant of love. It was based on love. It was based on free will. Amen. Though it was a requirement from God, but Abraham, God didn't have to pull Abraham and take him to the circumcision table and cut off the excess flesh. God wanted to see an act of free will from Abraham. God knew, God told Abraham that you have to get circumcised. And Abraham knew what it took to get circumcised. He knew it would be painful. He knew it would take some blood shedding. God was expecting to see Abraham to say, "My Lord, this is the handmaid of God. Let it be done to me according to thy word." Abraham, God wanted to see Abraham willingly complying to the requirements of the word. This is the covenant we are in. God is calling you to act on something. God is calling you to take some decisions that will make, that will even harm some of the aspect of your life. But he wants you to do it willingly. Amen. This is the covenant we are in. It's an unconditional covenant, but it's a covenant of love. God is calling you to a separation, to get circumcised. It was not God forcing Abraham. God spoke and Abraham obeyed. Amen. If you are a child of Abraham, no matter how painful it's going to be, you have to obey. Amen. Because a covenant has no meaning if there's no consent. Amen. If there's no consent between the two parties in the covenant, there's no covenant. So that's why we see many believers today, they hide behind, it's an unconditional covenant. I can do whatever I like. No, that just shows that there's no consent. You didn't buy into the covenant. If you are in a covenant of love, a man and a woman, if they're in a covenant of love, they will willingly be doing things, even if it causes them some pain in their body, in their life. But because of the love they have for one another, they will be willing to do things to please, to keep the covenant. Amen. So this is the type of covenant we are in with God. That's why many believers fall short. Because remember, this process of circumcision, it's an irreversible process. You know that. It's something extremely radical. It's a public testimony. Amen. Someone, I don't know, you may not have seen it. You can't be circumcised and hide it. Amen. You can't be circumcised and hide it. It's something that everybody will testify because the pain will be in such an extent. And I know you're going to say there's anesthetics today. In those days, there was no anesthetics. So the pain will be in such an extent that you'll be crying. And everybody will listen that there's a birth happening over there. Amen. It's a public testimony. It's a public something that you are showing that I'm getting circumcised and it's forever. Because the time Abraham got circumcised, he didn't go back to being uncircumcised again. It was a life-changing event. It was something that will remain for the rest of his life. Amen. It was something that will remain. It was a new identity. That's why God is calling it a seal of circumcision. It's a seal that God places on you. Amen. Because as believers, when we say, "Oh, I've got the Holy Ghost," it's a seal of circumcision. You see it as if it's a medal that you are wearing somewhere. No, it's not a medal of honor. It's a painful experience. Amen. That seal is something very, you have to make a conscious decision. One who is going to be circumcised, he has to make a conscious decision, knowing that I'm going to cry. I'm going to be in pain. But despite all that, I'm going ahead. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. The world behind me. And all these songs that we sing, it just becomes, you know, a good melody. The cross. The cross before you. One day we'll try to crucify someone here. Even a stage crucifixion. We won't put nail, but we'll just tie you for 2 minutes. You'll be crying there. Just 2 minutes. If they tie you on a cross, legs and arms on a cross, for 2 minutes you won't resist. And say the cross before, the world behind you. It's a process that's involved a lot of suffering. And you have to be willing to accept it. And this is the token of the covenant. If you are in that covenant of Abraham, you have to be willing to come and say, Lord, as I am the potter, I'm the clay, you are the potter. Amen. The clay in the hands of the potter, it suffers. It suffers. Because there's so many, impurity that need to be taken out of the clay. The potter will beat it up, shape it in any way he likes. Maybe just want to make a vase, he just want to make a cup, but that clay will take so many shapes that sometimes you may think they're making a car. He's going to turn it this way, he's going to turn it that way, he's going to make it like a I don't know. To an extent, what is God after? God is after seeing himself, his own image in you. Amen. As we'll see in the life of Abraham, so many things that still need to be said in the life of Abraham. But you need to follow this process. Before God could put his name in Abraham, Abraham had to go to circumcision. Amen. Before Abraham get the full blessing, because the final stage was a body change. Amen. Before he could achieve body, it started from when he was going to different stages, getting separated with this one, getting here, getting there, the circumcision. After the circumcision, God said, it's not free. There's still to be done. Another step to be, before you can get access to the fullness of the blessing. Amen. So Abraham got to an extent, to a point where he said, I've made a decision. And he reversed it all. I'm going to do something that will remain for the rest of my life. I'm going to do something that will change my identity. When they see me, they won't see the old Abraham anymore. But it takes some radical, some extreme decision because it's painful. Amen. We sing that song, I've made up my mind to follow the Lord all my life. Follow God's way all my life. Amen. Season. Circumcision is not seasonal. Circumcision is for the rest of your life. Amen. It will never be reverted to the previous age. So you have to keep that in mind. But Abraham made a conscious mind. Though he didn't understand. No matter what it's going to hurt him, no matter how it's going to be painful on you, is a decision you have to make. Amen. And that decision as will open more doors in experience with God, in your process of receiving the fullness of the blessing of Abraham. Amen. Abraham accepted. Abraham, no matter, the Bible doesn't tell us that there was an example that Abraham could follow, that someone was circumcised before him. He didn't understand, what was happening. But God told him, Abraham, go and didn't understand it, but he did it anyway. There was pain involved, he did it anyway, and more doors open to Abraham. Dear believer, this is the calling of God to you. In your Christian experience, in your Christian walk, you want to achieve higher ground with God? Separation. Amen. Circumcision. Amen. Radical, extreme decisions. Because that's the key to releasing more blessings. Amen. Next time we're going to see. I'm going to stay a bit longer on this stage of circumcision because there are so many nuggets that we need to understand, and may really God help us to apply it in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you for making this possible today to speak about these things. These are simple things that we take some time for granted, but in it lie life. In it, oh Lord, there is the key to all the blessings of God. Help us as your children, as we partake of this word. Help us as your children, as we fellowship around what you have revealed to us, oh Lord. Not to take it for just some good, speech from someone. Let us not consider the instrument that you are using to bring these things up, oh Lord, but let's consider the source of the inspiration, yourself, God, speaking to your children from heart to heart. Let it go from your heart into their hearts and make irreversible changes in their lives, oh Lord. Let them make a conscious decision like Abraham, that I want to follow Jesus and I'm not going back. I'm not turning back. I'm getting circumcised from now to the end of my life. Bless your children, O Lord. Take now control, take the leadership, and bring us through all the service. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.